Hey, welcome to episode 3 of the Life is Short podcast.
The podcast where we discuss the making of the short film Forgetting Me from script to screen.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about our submission, which we just got sent into StoryHive. And we're going to talk about some of the community elements that we're covering in our submission, as well as a really interesting conversation around women in film. So stay tuned.
Hey, welcome to Life is Short. This is a podcast about trying to bring a short film to life.
Hey.
Hey, Kelly.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We're doing another episode of Life is Short. This is our podcast of Kelly and mine, where we are working towards producing our short film called Forgetting Me. And on this episode, we're going to chat a little bit about our pitch and a couple of other things that are on our mind around our submission. So first thing first, we got our pitch video in just, I guess, a day and a half ago. We got it in, submitted to StoryHive. So just as a quick reminder for everybody listening, right now we're in the midst of trying to secure some funding through TELUS and their StoryHive competition. It's a short film fund. So we're in the running now officially for $10,000 to actually get this film produced. So I'm pretty stoked. How are you feeling about it, Kelly?
I'm feeling great. I just want to say congratulations. I know it was a lot. And,
yeah, for both of us.
Yeah. So how are you feeling? I mean,
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I know we've been working on it pretty hard for a good like 2 or 3 weeks there. And I know it's been kind of a bit of an obsession of mine lately. But I think the final, I did one last review before hitting sort of submit, because once you hit submit, it's all locked down and you can't go in and edit anything. So you want to make sure to do one last review. And I felt really good once I hit like send and I sort of, you know, hit that last checkbox. I think we did a really good job. Like I'm actually quite, it's the kind of thing where the reference I use in my own head is that it's like, you know, you hear like either in sports teams and sort of various analogies where it's like, you know, you don't want to leave anything on the field. That's kind of how I feel. I feel like we kind of covered just about every single base we could in terms of making a solid proposal to StoryHive and to the community at large who will eventually vote and the judges and whoever else is involved. So I don't know. I feel pretty good. I think it's a really strong submission, but you know, I'm biased, which I completely recognize. But I also think it is like, I definitely slept well that night. I'll put it that way.
Like, awesome. You know, I'd slept awesome. Well.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. If I didn't get to that point, I don't think I would be feeling very good with myself, but I was able to be like, you know what, this is pretty solid. So I'm excited to see how it goes from here.
Yeah, well, that was definitely the goal. And I think that it's a very thorough application. And there was a lot of thought and prep and everything else put into it. I know that neither of us wanted to just submit whatever. So that was really cool.
I think from like our pitch video, which we talked a bit about in the previous episode, to all the various elements that StoryHive asked for in terms of the submission, which will soon enough be visible to everyone because it'll be up in a couple of weeks from our recording of this podcast. So I think we kind of covered our bases. And hopefully the thing that I hope is that for the judges and for everyone who's out there who sees the pitch, the video and the rest of the submission on StoryHive on their website at storyhive.com, that they see the thoughtfulness and the attention to detail that went into pretty much every element of the entire submission. Because, you know, we've been, you know, you and I have been working on this for quite a while, and I feel like there's almost no stone has been unturned in sort of like prodding sort of a light everywhere we possibly can in terms of like, you know, from top to bottom, from the script to pre-production to, you know, everything else that we've done. So yeah, I feel pretty good.
Awesome. You know, what I love about it is that, you know, they got us thinking about basically some of the end goals, which is to have some branding around your film and everything else, stuff that you would normally look at doing kind of after your film wraps, right? So having to do that to start. And also, you know, I think what was so cool about it is when you have a script, you're kind of like, you got your log line and anyone you talk to, you're like, this is what the film is about and whatever. But when you start really breaking it down and have some visuals for like, who's our audience, you know, how is this how is this film going to be relevant? You know, what is our artwork look like for the film? What is our vision, the cinematic vision for the film and the cinematography and the vibe of it? Once you start doing that, it pulls character out of the script. You know, with the script, it's like a flat thing. And, you know, unless you read it, and when you read it, you can envision certain things, but it actually got us visually putting out there and in words some of the things that I think will make it more helpful for like judges and our audience to kind of go, oh, I see what they're doing, versus like, hey, this is what our film's about. You know, it's a couple and da 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 da. It's like, oh, I kind of get the vibe now of this film. Oh, I'm starting to see like how it might be shot. Oh, I'm starting to see, you know. And so that's what I love about it. I think it'll be great for the audience to kind of see visually, like I said, what the film is really about.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, because it does the process of going through the submission does and did I think the way I kind of looked at it is it sort of helped us put into sort of somewhat concrete terms sort of the vision that was inside our head, that like you said, like it's on the script, it's on the page on the script. And if you read it and you kind of put yourself in the moment, you can kind of get it. I definitely think you can get a sense of what this film could look like. But throughout the submission process, you know, we kind of documented that and tried to make it as concrete and real as possible. And so, and that's maybe a perfect segue for one of the things we want to talk about, was around one of the elements. There's a variety of elements within the submission that you can highlight as the filmmakers. And so one of the things I think would be useful to talk about and to share with the audience of this podcast is the community relevance piece. One of the things that StoryHive asked in the submissions is, you know, this idea of like, okay, who's the community that's going to be affected by or represented by or see themselves in this film? And so that's one of the things that we spent a fair bit of time talking about and thinking about. And so I thought it'd be useful to just kind of walk through. So in just a quick summary, these are the items that we selected, which folks will be able to see in the in our submission when it goes live. So we have, I think, five of them, if I'm not mistaken. But so the first one is that, you know, we're shooting in a small community. We are essentially, it's going to be shot, the location and all the shooting and all the work, most of the work will be done in the city of Langford, which is, for those unfamiliar, is a pretty, you know, relatively small city on the outskirts of Victoria. So there's only about 29,000 people in the city of Langford. It's no metropolis by any stretch. You know, we've got some big box stores and it's a pretty nice place to live, but it's not, it's not sort of some big thriving place that, you know, in terms of, you know, this kind of work. You know, there's stuff that's shot nearby, that kind of stuff. There's a few things that have been, you know, claimed to fame in terms of big Hollywood movies that have kind of ventured into the nearby neighborhoods, but really it's a small community. It is on the outside of Victoria, but, you know, it's not, it's its own distinct place. And, so that's one area, one thing that we've sort of, identified, because we are going to tap into sort of our local resources here.
Yeah, for sure.
Second one that we talk about, and jump in, Kelly, if you have any thoughts on any of these, is around local crew. So, you know, it's one of the things that we thought was really important to tap into. And it's one that you maybe can, I don't know if you have something to say, because you're quite, you know, you're familiar with a lot of folks in the industry that, you know, you cross paths with in the area.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like Victoria, like you said, I mean, there's so much filming that happens in Vancouver, and a lot of crew, you know, might get trained here on some lower budget films, you know, $1 to $2 million TV movies or whatever. And then eventually they can't necessarily find work, so they end up moving to Vancouver or working there most of the time and having to stay there and then come back. So, you know, and then we have a group of a few people that are shooting narrative film, but we don't have a lot of people shooting narrative film on Vancouver Island in general. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for both of us, I know one of the things we talked about is just like pushing our own careers to that next level as far as narrative film goes. And also just like trying to make this film look like it's worth a lot more than it was to mm-hmm. make. Like, I think that that's like a real goal of mine. It's something we've really talked about. And just using it as an opportunity to really get us ourselves to the next level so that we can continue to make films, you know, in this community on Vancouver Island, and use the resources that are here and help employ people that are here that want to do it here. Like, not everyone wants to go to Vancouver and work on whatever. I'm sure there's lots of people, you know, that want to go to Vancouver and work on Deadpool or whatever shooting over there. But, you know, it's nice to be able to create a filmmaking culture and a crew base in your own community. It is.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's getting there, and it's also, you know, tapping into that local market and, you know, we got some talented people here, and it'd be nice to see a wider range of different people working in film than we are right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's something that's one of our intentions here with that particular element of the community relevancy piece, is to have sort of that local element reflected in our production. So
for sure.
Similar to that, sort of one that we identified in our submission was this sort of a value essentially that we identified in our production is around to have at least 50% of female crew on the production. So that's one that that we aspire towards, and I think pretty confident we can meet at least a 50%.
I mean, I think, look, this is the topic of the day, and I mean, it should have been the topic 10 years ago or 20, but it's the topic of the day now, and there's a good reason for it. Like, our population is half women, it's over half women, you know, in film crews and even in video production. When you look at, you know, videographers, filmmakers, whatever, it's just lacking as far as women in film. And it's not so much as filling this quota thing. Mm-hmm. It's more about just like being aware. And I think that, you know, if we can be leaders in the films that we make, where we go, you know what, we're going to focus on trying to at least find people. You know, the thing with Vancouver Island, again, it's a big island, lots of people that live here. But I know for me, my own, you know, experience, as far as I know, I'm the only female shooter on the island. Like, I know there's a couple of women, one that I met last year in her early 20s that, you know, is doing the camera training. And I know a first AC who's a female first AC that hopefully we can get on this film. And, you know, but besides that, like, I've been shooting here for years professionally and doing, you know, filmmaking stuff. And we just don't have a lot of women in film here. So it's not about filling some quota, you know, I mean, the other day, so the day before our pitch, this is the interesting thing. The day before our pitch goes live, I get this text from another filmmaker. Now, I had talked to him like a year ago. He wanted me to shoot his film and possibly produce it, a short film. And then he was looking for funding at the time through somewhere else, and I guess he didn't get it. Out of the blue, he sends me this text, and he's like, hey, can you, you know, will you be part of my StoryHive submission? And I'm like, well, I'd like heard that StoryHive, they'd said in a recent, I guess it was like a live Facebook like a thing. Yeah, they were like kind of saying you can be on multiple projects, but if we look at the projects and it looks like you have people committed to too many, then we'll start to wonder if you can do it. And I just didn't want any single thing impacting this pitch with us, because we, like you and I have both said, and anyone now listening to this has heard us say over and over again, we've been working on this a long time. It's important. We want to make this film. We think it's important, and we think we can make it rad. Like, that's part of it. And then, so I said to him, you know, I, you know, I'd love to help, but like, I don't want to be attached to any other projects, as I'm already attached to one. And, you know, I don't want it impacting the voting on, you know, or anything. I don't want it impacting anything. So no, I don't want to spread myself thin. I just want to be on the one that I'm attached to. And then he sends me a text right back, and he's like, oh, well, do you know any other women? And it occurred to me that he's just asking me because I'm a woman. And TELUS has put a what have they put in it? Like, requirements or something.
Yeah, in the submission, there's because I can only imagine, because obviously I don't know the inner workings, but probably like you said, they're quite sensitive to the fact that there's not sort of equal representation in the film industry. So they have within a submission, there's an element where you have to indicate that one of the key creative people attached to the project is identifies as a female. So
and it's like, it's the director, the producer, or the director of photography, right?
Yeah, something like that. They've identified. It's like essentially one of the key roles has to be a woman. So
right. And so basically, here's my whole thing. I never want to be hired for something because someone's trying to fill a quota. I want you to say, hey, Kelly's got really cool vision. I love the way she shoots, or, she'd make a rad producer, or she, whatever, because I've got skill. I don't want to be hired because you're trying to fill some void, you know? So for me, like, I'm really, really happy that Story Hive Telus is doing this and is trying to get more people, women in film. Unfortunately, the flip side of it is there's going to be some people that are like, well, I don't know, like, who's the one woman I know just filmmaking, I'll ask her whether I want her to be on it or not. And I'm not saying he was like that, but it was the day before it went live. And all of a sudden he's like, can you be in my project? I'm like, okay, well, super last minute. And what the heck?
Yeah. And I think it kind of shines a light on the fact though, that kind of like we've alluded to, is that, in the film industry in general, but also especially sort of in our context on Vancouver Island, where, there's a decent population on the island, but it's spread really quite thinly up and down the entire length. So it can be difficult for, I think, to your point, to find women who are, able to fill these key roles. So I think it's sort of a testament to your skill and experience and ability to do this. So, I mean, I'm glad I knew you.
Thanks, Eddie.
I know. Because otherwise I'd kind of, be maybe as well. It's true.
Oh, God.
I mean, coming back to our submission and our key point, obviously our submission, this was all in place before this experience of yours, but it was something that we thought was a value that we wanted to bring to our production.
Absolutely. So why not? If you can do it, why not? Yeah. Why not just do it? And I say that to even video production teams. Like, I see all these people on Instagram and everything else, all these videographers and their teams, and you look at their behind the scenes videos, it's all guys, and they're in LA and they're in Vancouver and they're wherever, So it's like, just like, keep an open mind and try a little. And it doesn't mean going out and just finding someone who has a dress on and then inviting them to shoot, but I love, like I said, that Story Hive is on it. And I think it is really important. And if we can encourage people to think outside the box and just like, think about it, then that's great. The other thing is, and I just want to say that, to some extent, you're a little bit of a feminist, Eddie, because this, this film, as much as it's inspired by your father, is really inspired by your mother. And, one of the things that we talked about was how it's, we need more roles that are strong roles for women over 50. And you've really created a really good one that is complex, and it's not necessarily the nicest person in the world. It's realistic. And she doesn't give up. And so I can't wait to make this film. I mean, like I said, you're a bit of a feminist, because you could have you could have made the film about, inspired completely by your father, about a guy, and made him holier than thou and whatever. But like, you really made it, you were inspired by your mother to make this film.
And I think, that's something I think we will probably get into in another podcast, is just this whole idea of, we talked a little bit in one of the earlier episodes around sort of the inspiration for the film, and you touched on it again. It's definitely sort of inspired by experience with my parents. It's definitely not a biography, but there's sort of elements of things that I've seen and sort of taking that to a different kind of location or conclusion. But it is very much this idea, like, watching my mom in this case, there's a lot of struggle and there's a lot of perseverance, and it's it's something that I guess just for our purposes today, I'll just say, yeah, it definitely was an inspiration for me in terms of watching her live her life in service to her husband and what that meant for her and the toll it took. So, yeah, I mean, so I'll, you know, I guess we can, we will definitely pick that theme up in another episode.
For sure.
And so the last couple of items in our community relevance, just to touch on, is one of our, the next one was around targeting local blogs and media. You know, this is one of the things we want to do again. There's the local small newspaper for the Langford area and the West Shore here, as well as other sort of local arts magazines and bloggers. So there's a few there that we intend to target again, to sort of showcase the fact that this is happening in this community and that there are locals working on this and, you know, kind of shining that light on stuff that's happening in sort of these, in our small community here. And lastly, sort of, you know, while these have been a bit more micro, this is sort of a macro one where the broad community around Alzheimer's in Canada and even across, you know, North America and the world, there's the film is ultimately, you know, it hinges on this whole idea of the suffering and the consequences of Alzheimer's disease. So that's sort of a central piece of the story. And this is a really strong community across, you know, BC and Canada. And it's one that I think is, you know, obviously it's very, there's an immediate relevancy to this particular film, but I think it's also one that we intend to tap into and represent because of the fact that it's a passionate audience. It's a passionate group of people out there. There are, you know, associations, I think, in every province, and there's one in Alzheimer's Association across Canada, and there's like big cross United States. They're everywhere. There's, you know, I think in May in of this year, every year they do a walk for Alzheimer's, and it's one of the things. There's some, if you really start diving into the stats, and I think I included a couple in our submission there, you know, it's increasing. It's becoming a more and more of a crisis every year in Canada. So part of our community relevancy was just sort of tap into that audience and link them to this film and sort of show them that, you know, this is a real portrayal of what, you know, what this can look like in the intimacy of a family, of a couple, and kind of shine that light on sort of, you know, the struggle of caregivers and what they actually go through on, you know, pretty much a day-to-day basis. Cause it's a pretty hard battle at times. And you know, it's not without its toll. Like it does kind of, you know, get to people after a while. So that's that kind of wraps up our main elements of our community focus. And so I think for today we'll leave it at that. So we covered a fair bit in terms of our pitch. So any last words, Kelly, before we sort of sign off for this episode?
No, I mean, well, I guess I'd just say the one thing, which is like just you reading those back, saying those back, it really, all those community things that you just said are very, mm-hmm. they're not represented really. You don't see a lot of films about Alzheimer's in general. You don't see it from the point of view that you've written this piece. And then like we talked about women in film and then, you know, the community and then having media in our community really reflect on the fact that there's some really cool people making films here, not just us. I mean, actually other people in the community making films, a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the time they're super excited when some big Hollywood film comes to town, and obviously it is exciting, but it's nice to mm-hmm. also kind of focus, shine a light on Canadian film. So,
okay, well, that's, I completely agree. So thanks for everyone for listening. So remember, please subscribe to the podcast, and we're on the Apple Podcast platform as well as we're on Anchor, and hopefully soon we'll be spread on a few more. We're also on Stitcher. So you can find us in your apps, find us online, and please check out our website at forgettingmemovie.com. And we have an email list you can sign up for. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're trying to be all over the place. So, but please just connect with us, and we will be in touch next time. Thanks very much.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.